Good afternoon. So I'm Pamela Foster Albert, and I'm an epidemiologist with the University of Southern Maine, as she just said, housed within the Maine CDC, where I provide epi support for the Maine Suicide Youth Prevention Program. And today I will be speaking about risk and protective factors of suicide ideation among Maine youth. I'd first like to acknowledge my co-authors on this analysis, Erica Lichter, who's the lead maternal and child health epidemiologist at the Maine CDC and the University of Southern Maine, Catherine Zwicker, who is the coordinator for the Maine Suicide Prevention Program at the Maine CDC, and Emily Weston, the Youth Suicide Prevention Project Coordinator. And I have no conflicts of interest to disclose. So a little background, suicide is consistently the second leading cause of death among 15 to 24-year-olds, both nationally and in Maine, second only to unintentional injury. And according to national YRBS data, suicide ideation, which is defined as those who seriously considered suicide in the past 12 months among U.S. youth, has decreased significantly since the early 1990s. However, it has more recently been on the rise, increasing from 14% in 2009 to 17% in 2013. Similarly, in Maine, suicide ideation among Maine youth has also been increasing from 11.2% in 2007 to 14.3% in 2013. So we also know from the Maine Integrated Youth Health Survey, which I'll speak more about in just a moment, that in 2013, among Maine high school students, 47% who were lesbian, gay, bisexual, or questioning their sexual orientation had seriously considered suicide in the past year. 30% who had been bullied in the past year had seriously considered suicide, and 44% who reported depressive symptoms had seriously considered suicide in the past year. So the objective of this analysis was to examine the risk and protective factors associated with suicide ideation among Maine youth, and more specifically, to look at what factors are associated with an increased risk of suicide ideation and what factors showed a protective effect or moderated the risk of suicide ideation. And this analysis was done as the first part of a larger multi-level analysis where we will be examining the impact that school and community climate has on an individual's risk of suicide ideation. So for this analysis, we use data from the 2013 Maine Integrated Youth Health Survey, or the MIYHS, which is Maine's biennial youth health survey administered in odd years. All 131 high schools in Maine are invited to participate. Of the 131 schools, 104 participated in 2013, with a school response rate of 79%. Within those 104 high schools, over 37,000 of the 47,000 enrolled students participated in the survey for a student response rate of 80%, resulting in an overall survey response rate of 63%. There are four versions of the survey, versions A, B, C, and D, where version C includes Maine's YRBS. The data are weighted to be representative of all students in Maine and to obtain state, county, public health district, school administrative district, and school level data. And for the purpose of this analysis, we included only variables that were asked on all four versions of the survey in order to yield the greatest sample size and largest predictive power in our models. We excluded observations with missing responses for any covariates, risk or protective variables, or our outcome variable. Our outcome variable was suicide ideation, which was defined as a yes response to the YRBS question, during the past 12 months, did you ever seriously consider attempting suicide? And all analyses including our descriptive statistics, our univariate analyses, correlations, and logistic regressions were performed using SAS procedures. Survey procedures in SAS. As I just mentioned, our outcome variable was suicide ideation, coded as 0 for no suicide ideation and 1 for suicide ideation. We included the following demographic covariates in our models: sex, grades 9 through 12th, race using standard OMB race classifications, and ethnicity, either Hispanic or not. The risk variables we included were sexual orientation, which were defined in two categories, heterosexual or lesbian, gay, bisexual, or questioning their sexual orientation, which we refer to as LGBTQ. We did look at sexual orientation as four separate categories during our univariate analyses, but chose to use the dichotomous variable for the purposes of our modeling. We also looked at bullying, which was defined as a yes response to the survey question, during the past 12 months, have you been bullied on school property? And lastly, depressive symptoms, which was defined as a yes response to the YRBS question during the past 12 months, did you ever feel so sad or hopeless almost every day for 2 weeks or more in a row that you stopped doing usual activities? And although substance abuse showed a relationship with suicide ideation in our univariate analyses, we chose to exclude it from the individual level models because we'll be examining that at the school level, an overall level of substance abuse at the school level in our multi-level analysis. We also included two protective variables in our model. The first we called family support, which was coded as either no family support or family support. This variable is a combination of two MIYHS questions, whether the student agreed or strongly agreed that their family had clear rules about drugs and alcohol, and whether the student felt their parents often spoke with them about school, either daily or 1 to 2 times a week as the preferred response. The supportive family variable was then a combination of these two variables, where if a student had a yes response to either question, they were considered to have family support, and a student had a no response to both questions were considered to not have family support. The second protective variable was whether the student felt they had a teacher who really cared about them, and students who responded that they agreed or strongly agreed with the statement were coded as having a teacher who cared. Those who did not indicate any agreement with the statement were coded as not having a teacher who cared. And we also looked at, we did look at one other support question, whether a student spoke with their parents about tobacco, alcohol, and drugs, but we didn't find any relationship with suicide ideation, so we chose not to include it in our model. And I should also mention, too, there are other types of family and teacher support questions that are asked on the MIAS. However, since we decided to only include those that were asked on all four versions of the survey, we were somewhat limited in our options for the protective variables we could use. So our resulting sample had 29,153 observations and was evenly split by sex, 50-50 male-female, and they were also evenly divided among the four grades. The sample was 98% non-Hispanic and 94% white. Within our sample, 25% indicated they'd been bullied on school property, and 24% indicated they had depressive symptoms, and 8% of our sample considered themselves to be LGBTQ. Among the protective variables, 95% of our sample had a supportive family per our calculated variable, and 81% of our sample indicated they had a teacher who cared about them, and 14% of our sample indicated they had considered suicide in the past 12 months. So in our first model, we included only demographic covariates, sex, race, ethnicity, and grade. From this model, we found that the estimated odds of suicide ideation among females was 1.9 or 2 times higher compared to males, which was statistically significant. The estimated odds of suicide ideation among multiracial youth was 1.4 times the risk among white youth, and the estimated odds of suicide ideation among Hispanics was 1.5 times the risk among non-Hispanics, both of which were statistically significant. And lastly, the odds of suicide ideation among 11th and 12th graders was lower than those in 9th and 10th grade, which was also statistically significant. In our second model, we examined the risk for suicide ideation while controlling for the demographic covariates. All three risk variables were significant in the model. The estimated odds of suicide ideation among LGBTQ youth were 2.6 times that of heterosexual youth, while the estimated odds of suicide ideation among those who were bullied was 2.2 times that of youth who had not been bullied. And lastly, the estimated odds of suicide ideation among those who had depressive symptoms were 12 times the risk among those who did not have depressive symptoms. In our third model, we looked at the protective factors for suicide ideation while controlling for our demographic covariates, as well as sexual orientation. Both protective factors were significant in the model. Having a supportive family showed a 60% reduction in the estimated odds of suicide ideation compared to those without a supportive family, while having a teacher who cared showed a 43% reduction in estimated odds of suicide ideation compared to those who did not have a teacher who cared. In the full model, controlling for demographic covariates and including all risk and protective factors, LGBTQ sexual orientation, bullying, and depression remain significantly associated with an increased risk for suicide ideation, and family and teacher support were significant protective factors. The estimated odds of suicide ideation among youth who were LGBTQ was again 2.6 times that of heterosexual youth, while the estimated odds of suicide ideation among those who were bullied were 2.1 times that of youth who were not bullied. The estimated odds of suicide ideation among youth with depressive symptoms were 11.7 times the risk among youth without depressive symptoms, similar to our previous model. And the estimated odds of suicide ideation among youth with a supportive family were 40% less than those of youth without a supportive family. And then the estimated odds of suicide ideation among those who felt they had a teacher who cared were 30% less than those youth who did not feel they had a teacher who cared. So we recognize that risk and protective factors can co-occur. So we wanted to examine whether family or teacher support moderated the effect of risks on suicide ideation. Were students who had risk factors for suicide ideation less likely to consider suicide if they had family or teacher support? So these are some of the interaction terms we examined, which were significant in our models, and all the interactions controlled for sex, race, ethnicity, and grade. We also looked at the interactions of bullying with our supportive family variable and teacher support variable, which we found were not significant, meaning that the protective effects of having a supportive family or teacher who cared on suicide ideation did not vary by whether or not the student had been bullied. So among the interaction terms we examined, these are a few highlights of our findings. The relationship between LGBTQ sexual orientation and suicide varied by family support, where among LGBTQ youth, the odds of suicide ideation among youth who also had a supportive family were 50% lower than LGBTQ youth who did not have a supportive family, while among heterosexual youth, the odds of suicide ideation among youth who had a supportive family were 70% lower than heterosexual youth who did not have a supportive family. This demonstrates that having support at home can decrease the risk for suicide ideation among both heterosexual and LGBTQ youth. We also found that the relationship between depressive symptoms and suicide ideation varied depending on whether an adolescent had a teacher who cared or had family support. So among depressed youth, we found that the odds of suicide ideation among youth who had a teacher who cared were 30% lower than depressed youth who did not have a teacher who cared. While among non-depressed youth, we found that the estimated odds of suicide ideation among youth who had a teacher who cared were 40% lower than non-depressed youth who did not have a teacher who cared. We also found that the odds of suicide ideation among depressed youth who had a supportive family were 40% lower than depressed youth who did not have a supportive family. And again, this demonstrated that protective factors in an adolescent's life can potentially decrease their risk for suicide ideation. So from these analyses, we found that Maine youth who were female, LGBTQ, bullied, or those reporting depressive symptoms were more likely to have considered suicide in the past year than other Maine high school students. We also found that family support and teachers who care about their students can moderate the risk of suicide ideation. And parents should be encouraged to stay engaged with their children by talking about them about school, setting clear rules about expected behaviors, especially among LGBTQ youth, those who are bullied, and those experiencing depressive symptoms. So we did have some limitations with our analyses. The MIYHS is only representative of Maine youth who are in school and does not represent youth who are not in school or who may potentially have other or different risk factors for suicide ideation. It's a cross-sectional survey, so we can't make any statements about causation. And we also know that the MIYHS is not a comprehensive survey for family support construct, so therefore these measurements are not on those particular variables are not necessarily ideal. And the bullying question is limited to bullying that only occurred on school property. So some of our next steps, due to the amount of missing data we had, we will need to impute before we do further analyses. We're also going to look at interactions among some of the risk variables. And lastly, as I mentioned earlier, we'll be doing a multi-level modeling analysis to examine how school and community climate affects the individual risk of suicide ideation among Maine high school students. And that is it. Thank you.
Yes.
Did that family support change as you went across the grade level? I'd expect that family support would be less important for it. Would you have 12th graders in there?
Yes, yeah, we had 9th through 12th graders.
And it would be for 9th graders as they developmentally move towards greater independence
right.
from their parents. And that family support would just developmentally would be less important
yep.
than it would be for that 9th grader.
You know, I don't remember off the top of my head, but I happen to have it right here. You know, I don't know if we looked at that by grade.
So that might
I don't know. Yeah, I'd have to look at that.
That might be something because yeah. I was thinking developmentally, you'd expect that to be changing.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I was just wondering if you looked at youth who had both teacher support and family support.
You mean as far as an interaction? We did look at a three-level family support, and there was definitely, you know, a decreased amount of, you know, risk or association with suicide ideation for those who had greater, like, both support levels. But for the purposes of the modeling, we chose to include just the dichotomous variable. Yeah?
I know you could only include questions that were on all four legs of your survey, but did you have a chance to look at screen time?
I did not look at screen time.
We found
I don't know if that's on all.
In the presence of bullying, that high screen time had odds ratios of 2 to 3.
Interesting.
And some people hypothesize that because of cyberbullying, that's where they get the bullying.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I don't think that's it. I think it's the isolation and lack of real connectedness
sure.
that comes from our addictions.
That's not something that we looked at, but it is an interesting point that would be interesting to look at further. Yeah.
So what proportion of your cases did you end up having to drop because of missing values?
It was about almost 20%. So there were 37,000 respondents to the survey, and our final sample size was just under 30. It was 29,000.
Okay. Have you thought about imputing missing values?
Yes, and that's something that we'll be doing before our next step. I did look at the same descriptive statistics of the missing cases, and it didn't differ.
So you wouldn't expect your conclusions to necessarily change?
Not necessarily. There was a higher prevalence of suicide ideation among that group, and they were slightly more likely to be male. So you could see some potential differences, but that is something that we're planning on doing, is to impute. Thank you.